It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. And let others obsess on the horse race. We've got issues. It's our 2013 election series, 30 issues in 30 days. And this is Good Jobs Week on 30 issues. Not just jobs, good jobs. We'll talk about them today through Friday in the New York and New Jersey races. Central focus of both mayoral candidates at a time when poverty is high, unemployment is stagnant, and inequality is rising in New York City. Our guest today on this is David Jones, president of the Community Service Society, the think tank and advocacy group for low-income New Yorkers. Hi, David. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian.
And David, you know, it made a big impression on me early in the campaign when I moderated a mayoral candidates forum that your group co-sponsored and invited me to moderate.
Right.
And that at the same time you released a survey, your unheard third survey of New Yorkers in the lower third of incomes, and their number one issue was jobs with upward mobility.
Right.
Do you see that as your central focus in this campaign?
I think, you know, it's our central focus, and I think increasingly, at least, the candidates are recognizing that good-paying jobs or jobs with some future are going to be essential for New York City.
How do you assess the Bloomberg years in that regard, if there's such a yearning? He would say he's been working to expand the job space and the tax base away from Wall Street to a more economically diverse future, even as he tries to keep Wall Street here as much as possible. But with tech sector industries and tourism continuing to grow and health and education both being so big now, how do you assess the Bloomberg years?
Well, I think the Bloomberg years were good for some. Obviously, the income inequality problem has grown explosively in New York. We're now the leader in the nation in terms of the very rich versus the very poor. But, you know, the last numbers we got, we now have 21% of the population who are at or below poverty line. And for New York, that's a big deal because the poverty line is the same for Mississippi as it is for New York. What's happened is the job recovery for New York has been very disjoint. From 07 to the present, we've gained about 102,000 low-wage jobs. That's paying less than $36,000 a year. And lost about 34,000 higher and middle-wage jobs. So things like tourism does help, and I don't mean to, you know, downplay it. But it's pumped enormous amounts of effort into low-wage jobs that really have not necessarily brought people above the poverty line, even when they're working very hard.
There are good tourism jobs. There are crappy tourism jobs.
And mostly not crappy, but we certainly have had low-wage jobs that lead people to need food stamps and have probably, and we know, have contributed to the expansion of the number of the working poor who are in homeless shelters now.
So, listeners, we can take a few phone calls on this for David Jones as we kick off Good Jobs Week here on 30 Issues. What kinds of jobs should New York have that it doesn't have now? And how can the city fight inequality through attracting more good jobs? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. David, are there certain sectors or industries that you think could keep growing more than they are with the right policies, and that it is a matter of policy?
Well, it's interesting. Mayoral candidate Loda had an interesting idea of trying to make put into CUNY a hospitality industry graduate degrees, like Cornell has its hotel school.
Right.
Probably those kinds can lead. We know, for instance, and I think Bill de Blasio has talked about the fact that career and technical education in high schools, which before Bloomberg's final term were just not on the radar screen, we clearly had one of the worst outcomes for career and technical in the country, is probably one of the ways that you can help young people, not necessarily immediately college-bound, into better-paid jobs. Obviously, I keep talking about young people who come out of aviation high school who can, if they come, get a job with the airports or on fixing jet engines, can make more than I pay a first-year lawyer. There are ways to do this. I just don't think we've had enough focus. And frankly, I think it's going to be one of the opportunities we have in the city of New York to start to really focus about what you could do to make high school students who are engaged early in careers that literally do have a future.
My wife used to work at aviation and, you know, would rave about the population of students, mostly first-generation immigrants, who would come up through that school and then be prepared for these pretty darn well-paying jobs in many cases, like the ones you were referring to. But the Bloomberg administration, to come back to them, I realize the mayor's not running for a fourth term,
right.
But he would say, look, we've created, you know, dozens of job training-oriented specialized high schools around the city. Do you think they're the wrong ones? Do you think there's not enough focus? Have you looked at that?
I think it's all scale. I mean, you literally have enormous numbers of young people who are enrolled in career and technical programs that are not of the same quality. So, yes, they, you know, we've worked with the mayor. Actually, I was served on a commission for him. And they did start to create five or six and now more small career and technical sort of premier programs. The trouble is we never scaled it. And unless you scale it against a population in the schools of more than a million, it's not going to be able to keep up with the constant churn of hundreds of thousands of young people graduating or not graduating from the school system. So now it's for the next mayor, whoever he may be, to take this to scale. And that's going to be the critical phase. We've got a lot of prototypes out there, but they're almost micro prototypes of what you'll need to really have an impact.
John in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning. I'm sorry. I'm calling because I think the city is harassing businesses too much, small businesses especially, with fines, with fees, with regulations, with bans. For example, the soda ban, the proposed Bloomberg cigarette display ban. Also, another idea, the city could provide micro lending to finance small businesses, let people start their own tiny businesses. They could probably make more money than they would working in some minimum wage job somewhere. So there's all kinds of ways that we could create better paying jobs than just whatever is available currently.
John, thank you very much. Let's go to Luis in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Luis.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Louis, by the way, Brian. Love your show.
Sorry about
always
that.
Listen to it. And, you know, you guys talk about how to bring in decent jobs to the city, but you know what it is? I think there's a lot of decent jobs here, but the problem is there's a lot of nepotism going on. Now, I don't know the laws regarding that. You go into union jobs, for instance, entry-level position, Local 15, crane operators, Local 79, laborers. And when you go in there, everybody's related, and for some reason they always have Irish surnames. I mean, you know, it's just crazy. You know, I had some relatives that are very qualified, but they would rather hire somebody that's not qualified and train them on the job instead of, you know, bringing in somebody that has a little experience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a big problem here.
Louis, thank you. I'm going to leave it there for time. Call us again. But David Jones, what do you think about that in terms of access to the union jobs?
Well, it's been a problem over the years. There's no question. The construction trades particularly have only very recently beginning to open up to other groups outside their own. I think the carpenters and the laborers have made major strides. We have others like the sheet metal workers who at least apparently import labor from Canada rather than have any black or brown workers. But I think the city is already on the move on that. There was an exception, and I hammered at it year after year. Our fire department was incredible with only 3% African-American, and I think the mayor was totally wrong in terms of resisting the kind of reforms. But I think even that has now made major
mm-hmm.
strides.
David Jones, president of the Community Service Society, the think tank and advocacy group focusing on the needs of low-income New Yorkers as we talk about good jobs, upward mobility jobs as an issue in the mayoral race. You know, Joe Loder would argue that de Blasio's way of fighting inequality will scare jobs away. And it kind of goes to what the first caller, who I guess was a small business owner, was bringing up. If de Blasio is going to crack down on tax incentives to move jobs here or keep jobs here, as he has promised, that's more probably about larger businesses, but if he's going to raise taxes on the top 1% as promised, if he's going to push for more requirements on business owners like paid sick leave and a living wage law, $10 an hour for the employees of many of the contractors doing business with the city, and those are policies you have supported, that may work toward more dignity for those who do have jobs, but not more of those good jobs. What do you say to that critique?
Well, I think the paid sick leave fight was illustrative of how overwrought this discussion became. We, in fact, with the other parts of the coalition, brought research from other cities that had used paid sick leave showing there was no impact whatsoever on small business of having a very limited paid sick leave available for particularly low-wage workers. And so it doesn't really impact. We had the same discussion on security guards. When we worked with 32BJ, we did a report for them. They were earning less than $10 an hour at the time. When you interviewed people at the Empire State Building, the 75 security guards, basically it would have meant less than a half a penny in rent impact. So I don't want to get people to believe that minor increases in either minimum wage or benefits to low-wage workers is going to overturn business. It doesn't. And I had an argument with the head of the New York City Partnership. Some of the arguments they were using, overwrought arguments on paid sick leave, were exactly the same used after the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory, where the manufacturing sector said that if they impose safety standards, it would be the end of business in New York State. I think it's managed to make it through it. But I do think that both de Blasio and Lodev mentioned that some of the things that are hurting small businesses, all these problems with parking and tickets and, you know, the constant regulation have had much more impact in suppressing what a small business operator can do. And I think that is going to, no matter who wins, is going to be a prime target. And that's going to have a lot more to do with how small businesses do.
So Mayor Bloomberg famously said a few weeks ago that he wants all the Russian billionaires to come here and bring their money because they fund services for the rest of us through their hefty tax bills. Do you see, and before you go, this will be the last question, do you see an either or a both and when it comes to wooing those Russian billionaires and those not from Russia to can we be building the good jobs for everybody and at the same time being very solicitous of rich people to be here and be happy here?
I think it has to go hand in hand. The danger is if you create a city that's so divided and so overtly having the very rich and very poor, you're creating a third world environment that's not going to be attractive to the new businesses of this century. People are looking for all the excitement of great restaurants, but they don't want to see people begging in the streets. So I think this can go together, has to go together, if we're really going to make this city something that everyone wants to be at and is sort of the go-to place.
David Jones, president of the Community Service Society, thanks so much for starting off Good Jobs Week here on The Brian Lehrer Show.
It's a pleasure.